I can't believe it. It took like 2 weeks or something like that, though, but this thing came for Dominic Sebastian. I can't believe it, man. What am I to say? What am I to do? I mean, here I am just coming home from class, and then and suddenly I see this thing in the mail. I mean, it's been in the mail, I don't know, God knows how long, probably since the break. But it had Dominic Sebastian's name on it. It's the Bloomingdale's by Mail Spring 2002 catalog. You asshole.
And the show is Hacker Mind. This is your host, Screamer Chaotix. On the phone we have, who's that again?
Dash Interrupt.
Dash Interrupt, huh? Well, wow. What a crazy couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think so. Crazy, call them that. Yeah.
We missed an episode last week.
What do you mean? I tuned in last week. It was a pretty good episode, I think.
All right, well, obviously, Dash was hearing something that the rest of us weren't, but...
Yeah. There wasn't a show last week.
Yeah, we missed an episode last week, and, you know, leave it to the HackerMind fans to come to our rescue and stand up for us in our time of need. But with all the madness and the chaos, and see, this is where we planned on having a little wave file of crowds demanding HackerMind, but I guess we never got around to that.
I just remember that.
Yeah, after all this this chaos and madness that the fans have put upon us, it kind of makes you wonder what would happen if we missed another episode.
I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah, I think they would be trying to draw blood at that point.
I don't know what they would do.
You know, but
I think there would be a big uprising.
Yeah, probably. You know, we should apologize for that, but you know, then again, it's impossible to make an episode each and every week, and if we do miss one, as much as we hate to do it, it's kind of difficult to find the time to, you know, just to make one, you know, like to record one on the weekend or something like that, so...
Well, yeah, plus, I mean, we had gone a long time without missing one.
We did, nearly 2 years, which is exceptionally good.
Yeah, I mean, we had gone a really long time.
Yeah, but... obviously, we hate to miss episodes, you know, because, first of all, it hurts you in the listener department, and something we're going to be talking about tonight is online radio, so this is all relevant. You know, when you have listeners and you want to get more, I guess that's the best way to say it, you really don't want to miss any episodes, because think about all the new listeners that are tuning in that night, and you're not on.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and yeah, it really kills you because they're not coming back. They're going to say, well, these guys are not on, and so that's that. But
well, that's fine. They can do that. But, you know, we're back. We're back this week, and hopefully, you know, for many weeks to come.
I certainly hope so, because there's a lot to talk about. And Dash, I wanted to ask you, did you get a chance to download the last episode of Off the Hook?
No, I didn't. No, I never got around to that.
You know, it was a great episode. They talked to the author of a new book coming out. I can't remember the title of it, but it's about hackers. It's about hacker culture, and he was saying some pretty incredible things. You know, just basically things that we've been saying for the past 2 years about how hackers are so misconstrued by the media.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. But Emmanuel brought up a really important point, and I wanted to touch upon that tonight. He had said that there seems to be a common conception in the world today, and especially in popular media, that any punishment is fair if someone commits a crime. Now, for example, what I'm saying here is if someone defaces a website, they don't do any damage, they don't steal from anyone, they just deface a website. You know, and the original HTML files are still there, but
they just changed the HTML file to something else.
Right. Now, of course, we can't really condone that behavior because, you know, you are giving somebody a hard time. There's really no reason to do it. But Emmanuel was saying that when people do this, a lot of people seem to think that they deserve to get life in prison. And their reasoning behind that is...
Yeah, why is that? Why do people think that?
You know... That is a great question, Dash, because I've been trying to figure that out for the longest time. I've been trying to figure out why is it that people feel so violently opposed to computer hackers. And, you know, I'm afraid I don't have an answer, but...
I want some answers. I want the truth.
Well, you can't handle the truth, Dash.
No, I don't think I could.
Yeah, but they were talking about that. They were saying how there was actually a panel of some sort... And they were discussing hacker ethics there, and I think it might have been the same panel that I'm going to discuss tonight, which deals with our friend Adrian Lamo again. But there was a man in the back of the room who they said applauded when the topic of hackers being imprisoned for life came to the table.
Really?
Yeah, and he was alone in his applause, but apparently he believes that.
But that's the guy who thinks all hackers should be imprisoned.
Well, if only that were the one guy.
Yeah.
You know, if only it was that one guy that we had to deal with. But no, there's a lot of people out there that say if you do the crime, you do the time. Now, I took it upon myself. I didn't know if you had a question of the week planned.
But if you have one, that's cool.
Well, let's just compare. Maybe we could have like Screamer's question of the week and Dash's question of the week.
Let's hear yours, and if I think mine's better, I'll...
Well, my question of the week was going to be how do people feel about that? If someone does the crime, should they do the time? For example, if they deface a website, should they be punished for that, or should I'm talking about like. Imprisonment, jail time even, or should they just get a fine or nothing at all? So, you know, should people be punished for really doing no damage whatsoever and only embarrassing someone else?
Okay.
So that was mine. I'll write it down on the board and make it more clear, but I'm sure you have one planned out for us.
I'm keeping mine to myself. I gotta collect them and make sure I have some good ones.
Oh, so you're not going to...
We'll use that one. It's a good one. We'll use that one.
All right, but do you have the past replies for us?
Oh, yeah, I do.
The last one? Because I know we...
had some time to collect them.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got quite a few to this one, didn't we?
Oh, we did, but I only got a few of them.
All right.
About 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them.
And again, if your answer is not read on the air, it's because we hated it. Oh, I mean, it's because... Never mind.
So there might be a couple reasons. One would be probably really similar to another one, and another would be that we had just read yours on the previous week, so we want to give other people a chance to answer the question.
Oh, but Dash, you're making us be too nice here. We got to be tougher on these people.
No. We missed a week, so now we gotta make it up to them.
I suppose you're right.
Okay, the last question of the week, which was for March 14th, was it was about technology and how it's advanced a lot in the past 30 years.
Right.
And the question was, what would you like to see, what kind of technology would you like to see in the next 30 years, and what do you think, you know, what do you think things will be like? What do you think computers will be like and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, let's just start with the top one here. It comes from Decipher. There are two big things I can see happening. One, games and computers will become more virtual reality based. I also think, though it is extremely scary, that the government or some mass power will design a chip that can not only track humans, animals, etc., but also control their thoughts, actions, and memory. Yeah, I see. Well, the next one comes from Wintermute. I think that computers will evolve in the next 30 years, but not like happened in the last 30 years. In the past 30 years, we have grown from almost no clock speed to 2 gigahertz and up. We have gone from LEDs to CRTs to LCDs as monitoring devices. We have gone from 30 KB is all someone needs for storage to where 100 gigabytes won't cut it. The technology has to reach a breaking point, and I think that will come in the next 30 years. It's getting harder to make stuff cheaper, faster, and cooler, heat-wise. We can only go so far with machines. The next 30 years, we'll see molecular devices, or we're screwed for advancement. The next one comes from, I don't know how to say his name still. Is it Visage or Visage?
Visage.
Visage, okay. I think the main difference will just be size. We will have a 100 gig computer at 2 gigahertz speed on a Palm Pilot. I see it happening. Also, more functional advanced tools, such as programming languages, which will allow development of games and products to go much faster.
You know, that's... sorry to interrupt you, but that's... I was thinking that myself. We got to have programming languages that make things easier. I mean, I know a lot of hackers out there don't want to hear that, but programming languages take a good amount of time to learn.
Yeah.
And they're not the easiest thing in the world, so maybe some more simplistic programming. I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for that, but that would be a good advancement.
Okay, the next one comes from Soul Jacker. He's going to jack your soul. This is short and sweet. Short and sweet. I think that quantum computers will become actually useful within the next 30 years. And he adds, I could see the movie The Matrix coming true. And the next one comes from, let's see, we got two more. This one comes from Unreal. With the further sophistication of the computer comes changes in different types of industry. The aviation industry, for example, will see much change in the coming 30 years. In the pursuit for 100% reliability and safety in passenger aircraft, we will see more and more automation taking over the pilot's job in the cockpit. While I, as a pilot, hate to admit this, the future of air travel will be in more sophisticated systems to allow safer automation of the pilot's duties. If the current trend continues, pilots will become more assistant men than pilots. As a side note, it is my belief that the pilot will never be taken out of the cockpit. I, for one, would never fly commercially if that was to happen. The weird thing about this is I was talking to Unreal, and I was playing around with him, and I said, well, we're going to eventually get to the point that we don't need a pilot in the cockpit. And he said something about, he had posted that on the board, so I went and looked, and sure enough, he had said that, but
cool.
Pretty weird. Alright, the last one comes from BIOS. The next 30 years. Wow, it's hard to imagine. Think about this. In 100 years, we've gone from being with horse and buggies to the internet. The speed in which humans develop things increases daily, constantly gaining momentum. My biggest hope for the next 30 years is that we find a way to put it to good use. For instance, all the games, graphics, processor speeds are great, but when it comes down to it, if we have all this wonderful technology, why are people still dying from cancer, AIDS, Alzheimer's? My point is, I want people to be able to live without the threat of these diseases. Let's work on taking care of the human aspect of things. After we get that taken care of, think about how much the quality of life would go up. What good is all the technology if we're all dead? Also, we must explore space. The fact is, boys and girls, the universe is in constant expansion. Right now, the Earth sits in a nice, comfy little warm zone, just the right distance from the sun. However, with the universe expansion, we won't be here forever. Time to move. And that's all the replies.
All right. All right. we'd like to once again thank everybody for taking the time to answer that question.
I think we got some good ones.
Yeah, what I want to say is that a lot of people seem to want to see more advancements in terms of things that we already have. They want to see things that we have now become better.
Yeah.
I want to see the next television. You know, I want to see the next internet, the next printing press. I want to see the next big thing. That's what I want.
The new stuff. The new stuff that hasn't even been thought of yet.
Yeah, the next advancement that will come around and just change everything. You know, when the telephone came out, it was... Actually, it was just used for a type of radio, but you get the idea.
How about this anti-gravity device that NASA's making?
Well, I suppose, yeah, but what kind of practical uses can we put it to?
I don't know. I just saw that earlier, and I was like, wow, that's pretty weird.
What kind of device is that exactly?
Well, I read the whole thing. I don't have it with me right now, but...
Yeah, but do you remember, is it like a box that...
It's like a circular thing. Somehow, I don't remember. It's just weird. It causes gravity to... lessen, you know, you things weigh less, and it just, I don't know, it's weird, if it even works, you know.
Yeah, and how much money are they spending on this?
I believe it was $600,000 or $600 million.
I'm guessing million.
Probably, I don't remember.
To defy gravity, actually, I was expecting a lot more.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty penny.
$600 million, that's nothing, that's chump change. Bill Gates, man, he could have 500 of them.
Well, I wish I had $600 million.
Yes, it would be nice. Why don't we just ask our listeners to send us in money?
Yeah, give us money.
Yeah, we'll just become beggars and just completely degrade the integrity of the show to...
There you go.
Be nothing more than beggars.
Have a fundraising show.
Oh, yeah. What should we claim to raise money for? See, this is the type of thing that we should talk about behind the scenes, but... Let's just do it out in the open. What should we scam our listeners into this week, Dash?
I don't know. How about HackerMind? I don't know. We need money for maintenance on our servers.
There you go. Yeah, we're running out of space. We need more of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We're going to need around $1 million for that.
That's a good scam. Let's see, we could sell our site for about $3,000.
I think we need to get more for the site.
Yeah, obviously.
How about, you know, HackerMind stuff, like HackerMind, you know, coffee mugs and...
But that's not a scam, though. We're actually going to do that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when we get around to making the
yeah.
damn logos.
Well, I can't think of any more scams.
I suppose we can make up the whole Dash is dead scam, you know.
Yeah, we could, or we could just.
Like, no.
We could scam them into thinking one of us got arrested.
Yeah. There you go. We need to build up the legal fund.
Yeah, the legal fund. Screamers in jail, send money.
Yeah, but you see, if we do the dead thing or the in jail thing, the other person can't be on the show.
Oh yeah, well we could say they're calling from inside.
That's gonna be kind of hard if I'm not calling in though. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We should probably stop scamming our listeners.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Especially while we're still on the air. Now, Dash, have you ever put your cell phone someplace and you couldn't remember where you put it?
Not really, no. I usually know where it is all the time.
Really? Oh, I've done this a couple times and...
you're you and...
Yeah. See, I wanted to talk about cell phones. I wanted to talk about forwarding calls tonight. But first, I'm gonna have to find my cell phone. So we're gonna have to go trolling, if you will. We're gonna have to go.
Oh, you lost your cell phone. I thought this would have been another time, not right now.
No. We're gonna have to find my cell phone. So.
Well, how about you call it?
Dash, would you just let me get to that point?
Okay, sorry. I was, you know.
I'm about to reach for the flash button.
Trying to help you here.
I gotta lift up the receiver though because these touch tones—they're just I don't want folks hearing them. How you doing, Dash? How are you? Nobody can hear you. All right, I'm flashing over, and now I'm gonna dial my cell. Flashback. Cool. Flashback. All right, now. Dash, you there?
I am here.
All right. I hear the ring, and I'm going for the phone. I'm getting warmer.
Finally, I hear a ring.
And here we go. Here we go.
Success. Okay. Hang up on yourself.
Okay, I've hung up on my cell phone, which will forward me to voicemail.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
But it's still ringing.
It forwards me to voicemail.
Voicemail of Screamer Chaotix. To leave a message, press 1. To make a call, press 2. If you do not have a touch tone phone, press 3. Or if you insist on being an ass, just hold the line.
Please enter your password.
And this is something we do silently.
Messages and 4. Saved messages. To play your messages, press 1. To record a message, press 2.
Hmm.
To change your greeting, press 3.
Well, you know what? We're not going to play with that just now.
Okay, why not?
Well,
I was all getting in the groove, and you got cut me off, man.
Yeah, but let's see. How can I do this? Okay, well, first of all, I'm going to have to turn off my cell phone. Now, I'm not sure if people will remember how quickly the phone actually rang, but, it rang pretty quick. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to three-way over, and I'm going to call my cell phone, and the cell phone is off. See?
Yes, the cell phone is off.
The cell phone is completely off, and it will immediately forward to my voicemail, but if all goes well, it should take a little bit longer to ring, and then I'll tell you what I'm going to do next. So, one more time, lifting up the receiver. How you doing, Dash? I love saying that. All right, I flashed over. Dialed my cell phone. Flash back over. Silence.
You have reached the voicemail of Screamer Chaotix. Hey, to leave a message, press 1.
All right, well, I suppose you got to take my word for it because it didn't really work there. But when you call it up and the phone is off, if you have your call forwarding set to go to your voicemail, it will automatically transfer you. So there's a long period of silence there. And if you know to listen for it, well, you can hear it. Now, what I was thinking that me and Dash could try someday is maybe, I don't know, let's try to think this out here. Maybe I can make it so that my cell phone forwards to your cell phone, and then your cell phone, if you know anyone around you, you can have it forward to their cell phone, and their cell phone can forward to my voicemail, you know, to see how many people we can get into this whole loop here.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know, and then we can see how long it takes for it to actually forward through all those different cell phones.
That would be pretty cool. We need to do that.
We should try it. I'm gonna have to get Panther involved. I'm sure he'll do it if he lets me set it up. I don't even know if he'll let me touch his phone though.
Well,
he doesn't trust me with those things.
Oh, he doesn't trust you with the cell phone.
Well, he always comes to me looking for advice. You know, when something happens, he'll come to me and say, "Hey, you know, this is really weird. What happened is I called a number, I hung up, and then I heard a really weird ring. It went." And I picked up, and there was nothing there. Well, what had happened was that he had called a number and done the equivalent of star 66, because here in Connecticut, when you dial a number that's busy, it will tell you if you'd like to, if you would like call again to keep trying the line until it's free, press a button now. And apparently he had done so, and that cost him 95 cents. And it called him back when the line was free, but he didn't realize that.
That was a good impression of the ring there, though. Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. Well, but we gotta try that, though. That would be cool. Wouldn't that be something if we can get, like, people all over the world involved in this?
Yeah, except I don't have voicemail.
Well, do you have call forwarding?
I don't have call forwarding.
You have no way to forward a call?
No.
Well, then we can't do it.
Yeah, I don't have call forwarding.
Now, Dash, how did you plan on doing it without call forwarding?
Well, I wasn't thinking until just now.
I guess your heart was in the right place, but your head wasn't quite there yet.
Exactly. Well, I'll be getting a different cell phone.
That's true.
I mean, eventually.
Well, it's not the phone. It's the provider, right?
Well, yeah. I'm going to be getting a different phone, too, anyway, so...
See, I really want to. I'm dying to get the unlock code for my cell phone because you know, every cell phone, most cell phones have an unlock code that can let you do some amazing, well, this isn't good.
What?
My cell phone is telling me to check card, which means check
the SIM card.
Yeah, the SIM card. I was going to say MIN card.
No. Okay.
All right, I have to check my damn card on the air.
Check that card.
Well, anyway, what was I talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, my God, I can't believe I forgot. Well, anyway, it's telling me to check card.
You're talking, man, what were you talking about?
Hmm?
You're talking about...
Where are we?
Who are you?
Huh? I know we mentioned call forwarding in there somewhere. Here we go.
Okay.
Come on, find the cell site, baby. There you go. There you go. Okay.
Working now?
Yeah, okay. We were talking about unlocking cell phones.
Oh, yeah, of course. Where are we? We're stupid.
We are stupid, but... no, we're not stupid. We're preoccupied.
Yeah.
See, when you hit the star key and you hold it down long enough here, listen, folks. It becomes a little box. Now, what do they call that? A break? A pause? Something like that.
Yeah, let me see. Let me get my cell phone.
And there's a code for almost every phone that will unlock it and let you, it'll let you scan for networks. It'll...
Hold down what key?
Try holding down the star key.
Until when?
Until you see it turn into a square.
How long does that take?
It should only be a few seconds if it works.
Not working.
It just stays as a star on your screen?
Yeah.
All right, well, see, your phone must be different than mine.
Mine's older than yours.
Yeah, see, when I hold mine down, I get a little box, and I had some codes that unlocked older phones. Maybe we should try that on yours someday. Let me try break 111. I call it break. If anybody else calls it something different, bite me. Break 111, break 113, break. All right, now hit OK. It's going to ask me if I want to call it. I don't. Invalid number. All right, well, enough trying to hack my phone on the air. Yeah. If anybody knows, what model is this? Oh. See, that's why I must keep my instructions. Here we go.
Talk about something, something, something.
Yeah, if anybody knows the unlock code for a Motorola Talk About Model T... 2282.
Yeah, I think mine's older than yours. I think mine's like T226 something something.
Well, it's not too much older.
Yeah.
But if anybody knows the unlock code for the model T2282, that's the GSM 1900 megahertz phone, let me know, because we would love to get a collection of unlock codes. And who knows, maybe we'll put it in frequency, maybe we'll just keep it for ourselves. Mwah! Mwah!
Yes, very, very nice.
All right, so we didn't leave any loose ends there, right?
I don't think so. Of course, we... Who knows?
Yeah, we do that a lot. See, these stupid things, they give you these little belt clip-ons, right? Now, these are the dumbest things in the world, because they always fall off. The phone always gets knocked off of the thing. So let's say you're at the movies and you have the phone stuck to your belt on the side. You sit down, you hit the You hit the little armrest.
Yeah.
And your phone pops right off. You don't even know it.
Yeah, there it goes.
It sucks. The dumbest things in the world. And the way they clip on. This is like the clip for the clip. Don't even ask. Well, go ahead and ask.
The clip for the clip. Why do you have a clip for the clip?
I don't know. There's a little piece that you stick on the back of the phone, and it connects to the clip.
Please, so I don't know.
It connects to the clip that you put on your belt.
Reuse one.
And unfortunately, it also blocks you from getting access to your battery, so I have to use my teeth to get the damn thing off. There we go.
There you go.
All right, now let me open up the phone. Why am I doing this? I don't know.
I don't know. I thought you did. What are you doing?
I'm a hacker. I'm curious. All right. Here's the three AAA batteries.
Triple A.
Yeah.
These aren't AAA batteries, my friend.
Yes, they are.
Mine aren't. Mine are like some. Hang on.
Mine. I don't. If this isn't AAA, I don't know what is.
Well, Well, are they green and red?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're not triple A, they're like nickel something.
Oh yeah, look at that.
Nickel something, I don't remember, it's N-I-C-H.
N-I-M-H battery, cool.
Oh, M-H, yeah.
Well, they look like, triple A's.
Yeah, they do, but...
Rechargeables.
No.
All right. Now, enough playing with phones on the air. Let's get on to some news. This is actually pretty important right here because this affects us.
I think I know what you're going to talk about.
I'm going to be talking about Net Radio.
Web Radio?
Yeah.
Web Radio's Last Stand?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's about Soma FM. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I have the article right here.
Yeah, Soma FM is the kind of internet-only radio station that offers a true alternative to the mainstream fare on the offline dial. About 20,000 listeners a day, that's a lot more than us,
yeah,
tune in to the URL to groove to the streams of ambient down-tempo electronica. I like that word. In the mix, the Chemical Brothers, Mama Gravy, Old Moby, and obscure new discoveries like the German band Electroslide. We gotta get some of their tunes on the show, man. Here, let me go on Kazaa right now and find Electroslide.
Yeah, Electroslide.
Right.
Get them on the show.
Electroslide. Alright, well, very good, Screamer. You're probably not gonna find them in the videos. There you go. Search for audio.
Yeah.
Alright, we'll let that search. And the San Francisco-based station, which began as a pirate radio operation, woohoo, in 1996 as the Burning Man Festival, has been continuously broadcasting online for about 2 years. Well, good for them.
Nothing, go ahead.
It runs completely on donations, about $1,000 a month, plus some bandwidth from listeners. But, Dash, what are you mumbling?
I'm reading along with you.
Well, you don't have to read out loud.
I know, but I just thought it'd be cool.
All right, now, this is an interview, right?
Yeah, down there. I didn't get the interview because I didn't really want to read all that.
Okay. In recent weeks, webcasters have started a Save Internet Radio campaign to try to amend the DMCA so that they can stay on the Internet airwaves. Rusty Hodge, the program director and general manager of Soma FM, spoke to Salon from his day job at a web health insurance company to explain how the ruling will likely affect stations like his and what he's doing to fight it. Now, where is the ruling?
Hang on, it's up here. You want me?
Yeah, I got it. But I totally skipped this thinking it was crap.
I know, you skipped the main part.
But a new ruling under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act threatens to change the playlist at Soma FM and other stations like it, if not actually shut them down altogether. The Copyright Arbitration
Royalty Panel,
a body appointed by the U.S. Copyright Office, ruled on February 20th that under the DMCA, radio stations must pay a fraction of a cent per song, per listener, for every song they stream. Under the CARP ruling, internet-only radio stations would pay a royalty fee of 14th... Wow, what the hell is that? 14 hundredths of a cent,
yeah,
per song, I got it, per listener, retroactively through October 1998. See, Screamer's not that dumb. He's just a little slow. Webcasters are up in arms. While they are not opposed to the principle of royalty fees, I am, they say the rate structure is far out of balance to the economics of these tiny, often one-person or two, operations.
Yeah.
So, basically, you have to pay a fraction of a cent per song. Now, first of all, how do you do that?
I don't know. Maybe, I have no idea how they monitor your radio station or what?
Apparently, I have no idea. I mean, we can go through the whole thing. It's pretty long. I know I had found this. This was on Slashdot, right?
Yeah.
People can check this out at Slashdot. Here, let me get to the second part of it because it's three pages of it. But not only are they being complete asses about it by making people pay, they're making people pay a fraction of a cent.
Yeah.
Which is the most annoying thing in the world. It says here, is there any way to avoid the fee? There are a couple things we'll do. Right now we play mostly material that's on small independent record labels or artists that don't have record contracts in place. That's about half the music we play. The other half of the music is on more significant record labels, although it gets confusing to see what is on the top five record labels because they've been acquiring a lot of smaller labels. And what the CARP ruling affects is what is known as the DMCA compulsory license, meaning that the copyright holders have to give it to you if you pay this amount. They can't selectively say you can't broadcast this on your radio station, so as long as you pay these fees, you can play any material. The CARP ruling concerns what the cost is to play back copyrighted materials if you sign this compulsory license agreement, which we actually did not sign. Well, good for you. I would never sign something like that to play music on an online radio station. I mean,
I don't think you should have to pay money to play music in the first place.
And especially a fraction of a cent. What's up with that?
It also says here, in recent weeks, webcasters have started the Save Internet Radio campaign to try to amend the DMCA so they can stay on internet airwaves. That's www.saveinternetradio.org.
And speaking of saving radio, save ElectroSlide, because...
Save them. They need our help.
There's nothing on Kazaa. There's nothing. Now, here's a group that I've never heard of that I want to hear. Do you think I'm going to find them at my local CD store? Do you think I'm going to?
Maybe.
No. No, not a chance in hell.
Maybe. Never.
I'm never going to find a German band called ElectroSlide down at the local Walmart.
They might be able to order it for you.
Yeah, but I shouldn't have to go through the hassle. If I want to hear the sounds, I should be able to just download it.
Well, yeah. Well, but see, the demand over here probably isn't that much, so they probably don't have any.
Exactly, but that's why we need these file sharing services, so we can share the music.
Not even on Kazaa, so they gotta
spread the love.
They probably suck.
Oh, because they're not on Kazaa, they probably suck.
I don't know. I've never heard of them.
That's wrong, because that's basically saying that if you're on Kazaa, you're
not. It was a joke.
Did you know that there are actually people sharing hacker minds out there?
What, on Kazaa?
I don't think Kazaa, but I know that there are file sharing services out there that have hacker mind on them.
How do you know?
I've been told.
Oh, you've been told.
Yeah.
You haven't seen for yourself. You have to see it for yourself.
No, Dash. No. You love pimping out Hollywood, though. How about those Oscars? Did you watch them?
Oh, I did not watch the Oscars.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, you know you did.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Actually, Executive Decision was on, and I was busy watching that.
Oh, yeah, well, I'd watch that over the Oscars any day.
But I know that Denzel won, and I think he deserved it. But
yeah.
When I saw Jack Valenti smiling in his ugly little way, I just... Ugh.
He was there?
He's always there. He's the president of the Motion Picture Association. And
that fuck.
They had this this little tribute to movies in the beginning. And
tribute to movies?
Of course, he was there talking and smiling and being his annoying little self.
Yeah. Fucking Valenti.
So, let's move on here. Librarians. Librarians are getting better and better every day.
Oh, no. Please don't tell me you're reading that one article I saw earlier.
What's wrong with it?
What article are you reading?
Librarians hit internet filters.
Yeah, I think that might be it. Did you get it from Wired?
No, I got it from, I think, either Slashdot or WBG Links.
All right, go ahead.
I think Slashdot.
Okay.
Testimony resumed Tuesday in the trial on the constitutionality of a federal law requiring libraries to screen out internet pornography, which librarians complain forces them to be thought police. The trial is expected to last 9 days. A 3-judge panel began hearing testimony on Monday. Leading the challenge to the Children's Internet Protection Act of 2000 are the American Library Association and the Multnomah County, Oregon Public Library. They contend that the law puts unconstitutional restraints on free speech. They want to offer patrons a choice between filtered and unfiltered internet access, contending that parents and children should be the ones who determine what content they find unacceptable.
Oh, yeah.
The government. Now, Dash, I don't understand why you were so upset with me reading that article.
Oh, it's just nothing. Go to Wire News and read it, and you'll see why I thought it was funny that you might be reading it.
You thought it was funny that I might be reading it?
Well, just go there and look at it later, all right? And you'll see.
Oh, I'll go there right now. I got a 1.1 gigahertz. I might as well point it to you. All
right, go look. See if I care.
Wired.com. Fine, go see it.
It would have been funny to hear you, you know, recite some of the stuff in that article.
Now, where did you see it? Ooh.
Wired News.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure you did. Should I search for library, or is it...
You want me to give you the link?
Yeah, that'd be nice, but I'm not online.
Like, well, then how am I going to give you a link?
Well, I guess you can't.
I guess I can just say it to you.
Experts lambast smut filters? That's it.
That's probably it, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Filtering software, and this is the same exact thing that I read. The link that I got from Security Focus must have, or from Slashdot must have led me here. I don't get it. What's so funny about this?
Have you read the whole thing?
Apparently not. Apparently not. I saw that librarians were against the filtering, so I guess I should have read it.
Is the article "Porn Filter Trial Gets Raunchy"?
Oh, no, I'm reading Experts Lambaste Smut Filters.
Oh, well, no, that's not it.
Here's a link to it. Porn Filter Trial Gets Raunchy.
Yeah, and then scroll down about almost all the way.
Okay. Okay, what are they similar to? Oh, yes, replied Morgan with no sign of a blush. Different ways of having sex, the hot teen pussy one. We have books on lesbian sex that might be similar. We do have books that show sex acts similar to that.
Yeah. I thought that would have been funny if you read that. And it was.
You're 18, right?
Oh, I don't know anymore.
All right. Yeah, well, I just love librarians because...
Oh, you do?
Yes, librarians, man. They're fighting the power. They don't want to be thought police.
That's right. All right, go write librarians.
I don't have any reason to hate them, do I?
Yeah, you do.
I do.
Because I had to do my community service at the library, and they were very nice.
So
a lot of behind the scenes stuff you don't see. They come out there and they put on the nice face, and they get your book for you. But you know,
yeah, but. I've worked in a library, and I didn't even get paid.
Well, that's because you're weird.
It was in high school during study hall.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great.
You don't get paid for that, you see. All right.
You didn't get paid, huh?
What's that?
You didn't get paid, huh?
No. I didn't get paid. But...
Neither did I.
I'm not bitter. Well, no, but... You had to pay your debt to society, Dash.
Yeah, I had to pay my debt to society. Yeah.
You know, I wish we could put that cartoon online, but I know it would get you into so much trouble.
Well, I don't know. I don't think it would anymore. I can't.
No. We're not going to risk that.
I'm not going to risk it, but I can't. I don't think I can be. I can't be prosecuted for the same crime twice.
That's true. That's true. That's double jeopardy. But they might say something to the effect of, I don't know. They can get you for something else. You know that
they might arrest you.
Well, I don't think they're going to do that. But that Ashley Judd movie is such BS. You know, she can't be arrested for the murder of her husband. Yes, but she could be arrested for the manslaughter of her husband, or she could be tried in a civil suit. You know,
I haven't seen it. Is that what it is? Is that what it's all about?
Yeah. She's accused of what the hell am I talking about Double Jeopardy for? I'm not talking about that movie on the air. Go rent it if you want to.
No, I don't
want to
see it.
All right. Well, I'll tell you about it later.
Is any good?
Okay, no, it sucks.
Okay.
Kind of, one scary scene, but anyway. I'll tell you about it later. We're not dedicating time to Hollywood anymore.
Fucking Hollywood.
There you go. Alright, you know what I thought of?
What?
You know how, you know what crosstalk is, right?
Crosstalk?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's when you get, you know, lines crossed.
Well, yeah, that's the easy way of putting it, but in reality what it is that down at the switch, down at your local switch, you're...
Well, if you want to get technical about it.
Yeah, your 5ESS, whatever you have. The copper wires in there, they kind of bleed over, you know? They radiate outward, your conversations get muddled, and they get all mixed up, and it's chaos. In fact, I had actually made a recording when I called you, because you remember that?
Out of chaos comes order. No, I don't.
You don't remember the time I called you and we had that serious crosstalk? We heard like three different conversations.
Well, yeah. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a couple months ago. Maybe about a year. I don't know. But I called you up and we heard all these different conversations. Well, what I was thinking is, people who are pretty friendly pick up payphones, right, when they're ringing.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
And if it's not a co-con.
Very true. Well, what if you picked up a payphone and were connected to something you completely didn't expect?
Like what?
Well, let's say you found a ringing payphone, you picked it up, and you were connected to Tell Me. Only you didn't know what Tell Me was.
Well, then I'd be very, very confused.
And when you said hello, the computer actually replied to you. You know, it says, "I'm sorry, I did not understand you." I wonder what would happen. And that's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to make some phone tricks for the HackerMind.net website with little luck, because what I've been doing is this. I call up Tell Me, and then I threw away to a payphone, and I let them both stay on the line. I hit the mute button, and I just wait for someone to answer. But every single time I've tried this, no one answers.
Really? Nobody's answering?
Nobody. Now, I've called payphones before, and people answer.
I say you need to keep at it.
I do. You know, another thing you can do is you can call up Tell Me and then three-way over to an operator like AT&T or something like that. But operators, and I'm sure you know this because we've messed around with them a lot of times, operators are notorious for not wanting to play along.
Yes, very much so.
They don't want anything to do with you because they get in trouble if they're on that line for too long.
Yeah.
So you don't want to mess around with operators. You don't want to. I do. Actually, I do. I do want to mess around.
Yeah, I do too.
But you see, can I do that right now? I don't think I can. I'm trying to figure out how I can mess around with an operator live on the air right now. I can't because I would have to, unless you three-wayed to an operator and brought them in and I three-wayed to Tell Me, but that's just more that's too much of a hassle. We'll get it into a phone trick and put it on the site because
that'd have good timing.
Yeah, exactly. I would have to call Tell Me and then we would have Tell Me on the line. And you would have to get the operator, and you wouldn't be able to hear me. And too much work, but we will get that, hopefully, into a phone track and up on the site.
Yeah.
All right, so that was just my little idea of simulating crosstalk by using three-way calling. You know what's really a shame? We were supposed to have Unreal on this week.
Yeah. Where is he?
Probably
up in a plane somewhere.
Yeah, he's probably flying around.
He's flying around,
Mr.
you know.
Pilot. But he was going to discuss a Windows XP vulnerability that he discussed, or a possible vulnerability, that could allow someone to get remote root access to your computer.
But he's not here.
He's not here, but we hope to have him on next week. I know he wanted to do some more research because he was having me try some things on my computer with the home version of XP, and we really weren't having too much luck. To give you the gist of it...
No, don't give them the gist of it.
No, well, this will whet their appetite.
Okay.
The whole idea of it is that when XP, from what Unreal tells me, has, I believe, a null password. It has, like, no admin password. So basically, if you're on a network with someone, you're able to connect to their machine as an administrator without entering a password. But, again, we'll get into the details with Unreal, and that'll hopefully be next week, if all goes well. And we'll find out what's going on with that. Now, it didn't work with my home version, but who knows?
Yeah, well, I don't have XP, so I can't help you there.
Well, you got the super cool 98, though.
Oh, I got the 98. What up now?
Yeah, it's kind of sad that we have to have these, but... All right, Dash, is there anything that you would like to talk about that I haven't already mentioned?
Let's see here.
Because, you know, otherwise, you see, what I think we should do for the show is, I think this is probably the best way to do it. We should probably both get our own stuff and then just spit it out. You know, I know, you see, when you're hosting, you're in the zone. You know, you keep on talking, you keep on going.
In the zone.
Yeah, but you need to cut in and say, whoa, screamer.
Whoa.
Back off, motherfucker.
Back off.
Yo, man, you got a dollar?
No, I ain't got a dollar. All
right, you come see me when you got a dollar.
All right. Yo, here's your money.
Yeah. All right. Don't say what that's from. If anybody knows, post it on the board, and we'll applaud you.
Yeah, we will.
Man, I'm gonna kill that Lenny. That motherfucker owe me $5, man. I'm gonna kill that Lenny.
So what's going on?
Okay, yeah, so what's that from?
Yeah.
All right. And, Dash, do you have anything?
Yeah, I have something that's kind of old, but we didn't get to mention it last week.
All right, what you got, man?
I got an article, man.
All right, well, you don't have to tell people it's an article. This is something you found.
This is something I found.
Information you obtained. Go ahead.
Information I obtained through unusual channels. eBay hacker trashes bail with caps lock defense.
Ah, yes.
This guy's
on crack. Is this real? Is this an April Fool's joke?
This guy is so stupid. No, it's March 19th, hopefully. It's not an April Fool's joke. Accused eBay hacker Jerome Heckenkamp is back behind bars tonight after his first solo court appearance in front of his trial judge took an odd turn. During what was to be a routine proceeding to set future court dates, Heckenkamp challenged the indictment against him on the grounds that it spells his name, Jerome T. Heckenkamp, in all capital letters, while he spells it with the first letter capitalized and subsequent letters in lowercase. Last week, Heckenkamp, 22, fired attorney Jennifer Granick and co-counsel Marjorie Allard in order to personally defend himself against two federal grand jury indictments charging that he cracked computers at eBay, Lycos, Exodus Communications, and other companies in 1999.
Well, with how dumb this kid is, and with how dumb he's showing us he is, yeah. I seriously doubt he did.
It was the second time Heckenkamp fired his lawyers. In January, he had a federal magistrate appoint him as his own counsel, only to change his mind the same day. At Monday's appearance, Judge James Ware seemed initially perplexed by Heckenkamp's challenge and spent some time explaining the nature of the proceedings. Finally, he advised Heckenkamp to take it up in front of a jury when he goes to trial. I cannot help but comment that you have substituted out a capable attorney, the judge added. Heckenkamp went on to demand that he be immediately allowed to take the stand and testify, and was again rebuffed by Ware, who noted that the appearance was not a hearing or a trial. The computer whiz then asked the court to identify the plaintiff in the case. Ware explained that the United States was the plaintiff and was represented by Assistant U.S. Attorney Ross Nadel. Heckenkamp said he wanted to subpoena Nadel's client to appear in court, and Ware asked him who, exactly, he wanted to bring into the courtroom. When Heckenkamp replied, the United States of America, Ware ordered him into custody.
That's a good point, though.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, you know, who did I hurt? You know, who's prosecuting me? The country. What the hell do you mean, the country? You know, show me a victim here. Show me a victim that wants me prosecuted.
Yeah, well, the people over at eBay and Lycos, probably.
But
it shouldn't be, yeah, it shouldn't be the whole country against this guy. It should be those people.
That's like saying, you know, the United States of America, that's like saying I'm against him. You know, everybody's against you, kid.
But he committed a crime, so they have to use the country thing.
Yeah, yeah, don't like it, though. You know, Jennifer Granick is actually in Freedom Downtime.
Is she really?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people think I'm on crack when I say this. I swear she was in the Blair Witch Project.
What?
Just watch.
Who? I haven't seen her.
Okay.
Who was she at? Who was she in there?
I'm not saying it was her, but if it's not her, it's her clone.
All right, who?
In the very beginning of the movie, they interview a waitress, and they ask her if she knows who the Blair Witch is.
Have you looked at the credits for the Blair Witch Project?
No, I have to do that.
All right, how about I do it real quick so we can find out?
Don't tell me you have it right there.
Oh, but I can look up the credits.
You can look up the credits right now?
Yes.
If you see the name Jennifer Granick in there...
I will tell you.
I'm going to start thinking things. But
and I'll keep looking.
It definitely looks like her. Anyway, she's a good lawyer. And while I think this kid has a good point as far as...
She keeps getting fired.
Well, yeah. As far as... you know, who did I hurt? You know, bring in the prosecution. That's fine. I mean, he's an idiot, though.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he really is.
You know, he
fired his lawyer twice, and now he's mouthing off to the judge.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, well, panel debates hacker amnesty. I have to bring this up because I said I would.
Jennifer Granick, right?
Yeah.
Hang on. Let me see how you spell that.
Do good intentions count in a network intrusion, or should well-meaning hackers be prosecuted just like any other computer criminal? A panel of information security experts chewed on that issue at a security conference here Monday. well, not here, but there. And for one of them, the question was more than academic. Obviously, nobody wants to be compromised, and it's never a 100% pleasant experience, said Adrian Lamo, described in the conference program as a communication phenomena researcher. But I'd like to see more receptivity to processing compromises that don't result in damage, without necessarily, it should say, destroying the life of the person involved. The Conference on Information Security in the Age of Terrorism, hosted by the American Management Association, was Lamo's first public appearance since his high-profile hack of the New York Times internal network last month, in which he exploited lax security to tap a database of 3,000 Times op-ed contributors, calling such tidbits of information as Robert Redford's Social Security number and former President Jimmy Carter's home phone number. It goes on to talk about all the great things that Adrian Lamo has done, even though it's basically the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
So far, his helpful habits have kept him from being prosecuted. We know that. Lamo was praised by communication giant WorldCom. We know that.
Yeah, he's always praised.
Here's all the great people that he's helped, all the great companies. And it says, that was sarcasm. It says here, though, it's against the law. How much more cut and dry can you get, says Marcus Ronham. And the article, which I believe, I mean, I got to write down where I get these from. I think, yeah, Kevin Paulson, so you can get it at Security Focus. The article basically talks about, you know, things that we've discussed before, you know, should hackers be punished if they help people? Now, one thing that I noticed that actually made me like Adrian Lamo a little bit more, because he is showing that he's doing this for fun, is that he connects to one of these things and he stays there for about 3 weeks before he reports anything. So I suppose by doing that, I'm not saying that breaking in and, you know, doing damage is good, but breaking in and staying there for 3 weeks does kind of tell me that, okay, he's doing this for fun. No. He doesn't mean any harm, but he's not only doing this to go around helping people, you know. So it tells me that, as far as I'm concerned, there's that hacker spirit, when, you know, in terms of rebellion and free information and so on and so forth, still in this kid. But
he's not. I mean, come on. He's telling people how he's doing it, but I mean, it's not that hard.
No, it's not that hard. I mean, I can't help but... I have nothing against the kid personally. You know, if you want to call him a hacker, fine. I'm sure he is, but...
Yeah, I never met the guy or anything.
Yeah, I know, but I think in one of the earlier articles, he actually said that he doesn't want to be known as a hacker, so... That...
Fine, he's not a hacker.
Okay, well, that's up to him and you.
Yeah.
But, if you want to say that he is, that's fine, but all I'm saying is, look at it this way. If you want to debate whether or not Adrian Lamo is a hacker,
I don't want to do that.
If our listeners want to debate if Adrian Lamo is a hacker or not, think about this. An activist. Is an activist a person that goes out to the streets and cries to the heavens about something they hate?
No.
Or is an activist a person who goes outside, cries to the heavens about something they hate against the government? Which is an activist? Most times people will tell you that an activist is a person that goes against the government, they go against the quote-unquote system.
An activist is someone who who really supports what they believe in, and it's not being done that way by the government or whoever.
Okay, so if someone goes out there and says, Microsoft is good, Microsoft is good, and chants that to the high heavens,
well, hopefully they're an activist. Satisfied because they're really successful.
Yeah, but are they an activist? Because they're fighting for what they believe in.
I guess so.
Okay, you guess they are. So you can guess that Adrian Lamo is a hacker because he's doing the hacker thing.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to be called a hacker.
Yeah, well, that's true. But his beliefs, you know, what he stands for, tends to go against the majority of what other hackers believe in. Just like most activists would say, no, you're supposed to be anti-government. That doesn't mean you have to be, but you're going against the majority, which can be good, can be bad, but something to think about.
There you go. Yes, I agree.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear it because we are running out of time.
Are we?
Yes, we are. We are at 59:32.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that's going to close up the notebook for this week. And you can find all these articles, really, at wbglinks.net, securityfocus.com, /dot.org, and all sorts of different places out there.
I was going to mention something, but now I forgot.
All right, well, you got a couple seconds to think it up.
Oh, I can't think under this pressure.
All right, well, so Adrian Lamo, you know, kid, do something else. You know, show me that you really like playing around with this stuff. You know, you like playing around with computers. You don't just do the same thing over and over because, you know, hacking's about exploration, finding new stuff. Move on. Stop just going around the country helping people all the time because...
Helping corporations.
But then again, he doesn't want to be called a hacker, if I remember correctly, so...
Yeah. Oh, he's just a guy.
Yeah, you can't win this argument because there's nothing to fight.
That's right.
But, that's about it. But we did want to say one thing, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we wanted to say something.
It dealt with pie.
One last thing.
Dealt with pie. You like pie, Dash?
I do. I like this new pie.
The new pie?
Yeah, this new pie.
Where can people find the new pie?
Oh, I don't know. Where can they find the new pie?
Can't they find it at the bottom of the HackerMind.net website?
I think maybe they might be able to.
Now, is it on the main page?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So people have to go through all the pages of the HackerMind.net website until they find the pie symbol?
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm.
What happens when they find the pie symbol, Dasher?
That's something...
Should we just not go there?
They have to see it for themselves.
Dash, you're kissing the MPAA's ass.
Oh, I'm not, man.
They're loving... Every time you say that, you're getting one more person to go and rent The Matrix.
No, I like that movie. I don't like the movie industry.
All right, well... I like that way of thinking. I love movies, but Jack Valenti, you know what you can kiss.
Exactly. Mwah!
Right there.
Right
on the edge.
There. How do you like them apples?
And we are 2 minutes over, so Dash.
Yo, man, you got a dollar?
No, man, I ain't got a dollar.
You come see me when you got a dollar.
Alright, man, I'll come see you when I got a dollar. Yo, man, you got a dollar?
Here's your fucking money.
No, it's here your fucking dollar. All right, man, here's your crowbar. All right,
cool.
All right, this is Screamer Chaotix for Dash Interrupt, saying we'll see you next week, and saying see Blade 2, it's pretty cool, and saying a bunch of things, and saying. This show was recorded, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that was boneheads.